Good evening, folks. How are you? Yeah, not too good. Yeah, I don't know. Bubonic plague is in town, so probably some of you are infected with that. I'm sorry to hear that. So welcome to Phil Henry and Friends. We have Lori Kilmartin this evening, funnier than hell. Kathy Ladman this evening. We've got Steve Simona. We have Tommy Jonigan. So this is going to be power packed. It's going to be fucking great. And we're very, very grateful that you guys are with us tonight. I don't know if you're tourists. Please don't take offense. But I was trying to get through Hollywood tonight. And I don't know how much more shit they can pack in up there. But it's getting ridiculous. Are you guys, anybody in from out of town? Anybody on from out of town? Anybody on anything from out of town? Anybody? Is anybody in town? No? Okay, great. So you know what I'm dealing with as I'm trying to get here. I live 2 hours away. I don't live 2 hours away. I live God knows how many minutes away, but I just decided to take 2 hours to get here. So meaning, I got the house and the divorce, which is way to fuck. It's a whole long story. It has to do with being a TV star and having a lot of money. So I it takes me a while to get here. And Port Hueneme, does that ring a bell? Okay. There's a lot of seals. Sea lions? No? You're from out of town. I'm from out of town. You're from... So anyway, it takes me 2 hours to get here. And by the time I get into Hollywood, I got no patience for that bullshit that they've got going on there. Ripley's, believe it or not, Hollywood Wax Museum. They got 58 different places to eat shit. They have more goddamn stars. They got another Walk of Fame or Walk of Lesser Fame or the Dog Walk of Fame or some bullshit. They got to put in all this stuff because Hollywood was never like that, but look at all the money you're going to make. There's a lot of people here. You know, Charlie, I don't know, Johnny. Who's it, Johnny Grant? Johnny, well, I like to do the stars, okay? So get more bullshit. I don't care what you got to do. Because when we have the people here and they put the star in the big, you know, pictures, right? I understand that. So get more shit in. I don't care if it's a Johnny Rocket or a Jimmy Rocket, or you better do it. But Hollywood was never like that. All right, how about someone comes up to a Humphrey Bogart lookalike and stabs him in the back? Because that's what Hollywood was like. So I'm driving to this bullshit, and this is absolutely, don't you ever, I'm not being racial, it's not my thing, but I do notice nationalities, I notice people, I notice tourists is what I do. And if I see one more Japanese guy hanging out of a thing, you know, like a, what is it, an SUV, a Cadillac SUV? And just a minute, man, I want to get the picture now, okay, you know? And, hold on, so my brother, that's my company up there, Toshiba or whatever the fuck, you know? So that takes about 9 years to get through that, and then finally you make it to Hollywood Boulevard. And that's where Ripley's Believe It or Not is. Now, I'm looking at Ripley's Believe It or Not, and I'm asking myself, I know it was in San Francisco. I saw it at Fisherman's Wharf. I went in, and I don't know. I don't give a shit. No one cares about a bearded lady. I'm not sure what else they have. My girlfriend, Lauren, she thinks it's fantastic. Two-headed fish, she lives for that shit. And I'm like, okay, great, I'll give you, I bought her a booklet of coupons for Christmas, so she's set there. But I was like, what the fuck is this, and what has it got to do with Hollywood? You know? So it's all just part and parcel of the marvelousness of the city that we live in. Anyway, we do have a great show for you this evening. Make sure you drink a lot, and then close your eyes when you're driving home. I just want to see what happens, you know. That's what somebody said to me once. They said, Phil, would you do me a favor? What? Just close your eyes and go fast. Just want to see. Allie is here. I want to say hello. Allie, how you doing, hon? She's a listener of mine. Do you know this gentleman? Did they sit him with you? Or is he bothering you? It looks like I can see what he's doing with his foot there, so you just let me know. Anybody else? Any young ladies being bothered this evening? I can't do anything about it, but I'll make note of it next time I'll sign something on the way out. Okay? Everyone set? Why isn't anybody here? Because you're scared, aren't you? Don't want to come up close to the weird asses that are up here, huh? Afraid it'll gum off on you? It'll be infected? Well, you're right. I got infected because I had a weird father and mother. I sat at dinner with them every night with my dad going, let me tell you one more story about the Germans. Now, what is this shit you're feeding me, honey? I told you, no lamb, okay? I had it in Europe. We had the machine gun lambs. That was my dad. I mean, seriously, my father, my World War II. Anybody got a World War II veteran dad? Nobody? Yeah, okay. Our pops that were World War II guys came back. You know, they were good guys, but they had kind of just a,
Hi.
You know, and you're afraid of him. And there was one guy, a buddy of my dad's, seriously, had three fingers, not a full five, because he lost two from a hand grenade, or seriously, some kind of a hand grenade accident, you know, like, accident. I think he held it too long, and, you know, and they were overrun by the Japanese or something. But anyway, and he says, how do you, and I had long hair in those days, so he'd love to shake my hand with his three-fingered hand, just, oh, a hippie, man, this is going to be good. Hey, how you doing, huh? Yeah, three fingers, huh? So my father at night, he would have a real shit fit if my mother served lamb. Why? Because I think they had to machine gun a lamb one day to eat because the Canadian fucking army wasn't feeding their men all that good. And my father had the mistake of being a Canadian, so he was at the Canadians in World War II, and you had to machine gun your dinner because they couldn't ship the fucking mutton over from Canada fast enough. They had to go over and find the Americans and get some of that shit they were eating, whatever it was in those days. I don't know. Roadhouse hamburgers? Who knows? All right, folks. Make sure that you have your wallets chained to your belts, and let's give a warm, warm welcome for one of the funniest people that I've been my pleasure to meet in recent time, in recent memory. She's terrific. She's been on Conan. She's all over the place, and she's everywhere and nowhere at once. It's Lori Kilmartin, ladies and gentlemen. Lori Kilmartin. Woo!
High five, baby.
Keep it going for Phil. Right on. Okay. I did a little run. I'm very excited to be here because I ran down a flight of stairs. How are you, crowd? Good. I'm getting slimmer. Here's my plan, my diet. This is my food plan. Is I have one meal at like 6:30 at night. That's all I have. Just one meal. And then at 7 o'clock, I have five sleeping pills. And then I'm out for 23 hours cold. No cravings because I'm unconscious. It's awesome. I've lost my job. I lost that. And then I lost my house. So I'm hungry and homeless. That's why I'm losing weight. It's a long way to get there, but it's still worth it. Finally, it works. I know it's probably a political crowd. Please do not come up to me after the show and tell me that I look like Ann Coulter if she were a woman. I don't really... Seriously, I'm tired of hearing that. Okay. This is the worst time of my life. Let me just tell you, my 79-year-old mother moved in with me. That is the exact reaction. I am also allergic to my mother. I can't believe it's spreading to total strangers. You see how toxic this woman is. And even in Burbank, she's causing audience members to become sick. it's a temporary thing because she's 79. folks, please die soon. No, I don't know if people have lost a parent. It's my dad died a couple years ago. That's why my mom is living with me. If you haven't lost a parent, it's tough to lose a parent. It's even tougher if you were hoping to lose the other parent first. Guys, my dad's last words to me were, ha ha, she's your problem now. And then he scurried away to heaven. My mom just talks nonstop. Like a couple of weeks ago, her hip bone popped out of its socket because it was trying to get away from her. The doctor said it's unprecedented. The first time they called it an escape attempt. No, I do love her. She wears a DNR bracelet, a do not resuscitate bracelet. I put it on her. She can't get it off. Thank you, arthritis, if you're out there. I don't know if you are, but hats off to you. No, I am a good daughter. In fact, I recently just put one of the safety bars in the shower. Now, it is loose, as per my instructions to the handyman. It has six or fewer grabs left, he told me. So I'm expecting a head injury by the end of the week. And that DNR will come in finally handy. No, I'm kidding, guys. I'm very stressed. I have a 9-year-old son already living with me as well. And of course, he's third grade already at age 9. We've had multiple discussions on masturbation etiquette. Yes, I was like, please do not knock on mom's door when she's masturbating. That's my time. Get your own goddamn apple juice. I'm working on my own juice box. some of you laughing and then getting angry at yourselves for laughing. I heard an emotional arc on that laugh. I am a single mom. Are there single parents here tonight? Perfect. I feel like some of you were raised by single parents. That's a vibe I get from this audience. Yeah, yes. That's a joke, but you guys took that one to heart. Oh my God, it shows. The wound is still fresh. And I guess we don't have any single parents. I think some of you will become single parents at some point in your lives. I see some shaky relationships out there. I have bad news for you. Love dies and children live, so. I don't date much. When I do date, I have sex on the first date. That's not a joke. I just want to get the word out. Phil, if you could tell people on the radio, I'd appreciate it. My April's looking a little light. It's not because I'm promiscuous. It's because I'm efficient. Okay, my babysitter costs $15 an hour. I can't afford to go on dates that don't end in penetration. That is fiscally irresponsible, okay? I'm raising a baby. One time I was on a 5-hour date, and at the end of the date, the guy tried to kiss me goodnight. I'm like, oh, no, you don't. You either take off your pants and join me in my garage, or you give me $75 cash. The first man to do both will be my husband. My son is half Mexican. He looks completely Mexican to the police, apparently. He's been arrested 4 times already in 3rd grade for gang activity. No, he's actually much darker skinned than I am. Now, when I see him, I don't see the color of his skin. I see the size of his head, and I remember that that came through my vagina. And then I'm angry. No, he has a Hispanic surname. His last name is Hispanic. And I decided not to give him a Hispanic first name. I wanted to name him Pablo, but then I thought, you know what? I know white people. Some white people are racist. A lot of white people are unconsciously racist. And when they see a resume with a so-called minority name on it, they might not hire that person. So I was like, I can't name my kid Pablo. I did name him Mohammed. That's not a minority name. It's the most popular name in the world. Mohammed Martinez. So if you come across that resume, you won't, because he gets C's and D's. You won't see his resume ever. Here's the thing. I only have one kid. I can't afford to have a dumb kid, you know? Like, if you have 3 kids, you could have a dumb kid. You could have, like, you know, you have your lawyer and your doctor and then your swim coach, okay? But I just have a swim coach right now. That's what worries me. I'll never get rid of him. I do want him to be bilingual. That is muy importante to me. And so I have him in a Spanish school. I also do this thing where I don't let my son speak any English on Sundays. I call it No Inglés Domingo. And then what I do is I put him in life-threatening situations where he has to talk his way out of it in Spanish, okay? That's how you fucking get fluent, is defending your life. All right, get off the book, get off the page, and get in a real world situation. So a couple Sundays ago, we're on a walk, and we walk by a pool. It's No Inglés Domingo, so I push my son into the swimming pool because he can't swim, okay? I know what I'm doing. So he, of course, starts yelling, help, mom, help, 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 help. So I go, honey, I would love to help you. Dígame en español. Right? Game on, motherfucker. Game motherfucking on, right? So a couple minutes go by, and he's yelling. It's hard to understand him because his mouth is full of water. But he finally shouts, Ayudar! I don't know if anyone here speaks Hispanic. Does anyone know what Ayudar means? No, not help. To help. Thank you. To help. That's the infinitive. That's unacceptable. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm sorry, when you're drowning in English, do you yell to help, to help? No, so that's not how you fucking drown in Spanish. I said, mijo, you conjugate that verb properly or you're gonna die. Yeah, it's called parenting people. I guess you guys don't know because you're not parents yet, but you know what? It's fucking hard. And he gave me what I wanted. He said, ayúdame, puta. That's one of those mom moments you can't take back. If you guys don't speak Spanish, puta is a term of endearment. My cleaning lady constantly calls me puta. Even when I'm not in the room, she's muttering it about me. It's so sweet. I've never been married, guys. It's hard to believe, I know. No, I've never been married. I'll be honest with you. My soulmate died. I assume. Where the fuck is he? I'm 50. Like, you better be dead, you piece of shit. Don't come at me now with your ex-wives. Not interested. I'm not paying for lunch. What if I go on a date now and the dude is my soulmate and he's been living in Glendale this entire time? I'll kill him. And then I'll be like, why was my soulmate Armenian? I don't even like chandeliers. If we were two blocks east, that joke would work better. That's how regional that joke is. We were on the other side of Fred Siegel. Holy shit. You guys would be standing right now and carrying me out of here. Damn it. No, I'm on OkCupid, and this guy messaged me. He goes, 50? Wow, you look 45. I was like, hold on, let me take a second and accept this amazing compliment that I look 5 years younger. Thank you. I applied lotion and took a nap. You figured it out. Here's the thing. I don't want to date because I'm exhausted all the time. Like, sometimes I wish I had two kids so they would siphon energy off of each other. I am my son's only playmate. He's always like, Mom, do you want to play with me? No. We have nothing in common. I don't like Minecraft. You hate Pinterest. I don't want to fucking play with you. I got you Legos. Build something. Build a dad. Build one who takes you on weekends. I feel like I'm telling, like, in 10 years, you guys, a bitterness will have settled into you. This feels like a very hopeful, optimistic audience. Why is she so angry? I was putting my son to bed the other night, and he goes, Mom, I want a brother. I'm like, honey, I want to date a black guy too, but that's not how you go about that. Oh, you like the race jokes. I get it, Optimus. Okay. No, I was tucking him in. And he goes, Mom, you should have had another baby. And I'm like, you should have been a better baby, asshole. That's your fault. You got spit up on all my good blouses. I'm your only family, and when I die, you'll be alone. Sleep tight. And happy birthday. And Merry Christmas, son. I try to hit the trifecta. No, I almost had another baby, guys. I had a miscarriage, but it's okay because I was 46. So I was like, phew. Finally, God and I are on the same page when it comes to my fertility. We've been at odds for so long. But even then, I was traumatized. I was like, God, why did you make me pregnant at 46? And God was like, I thought you were 5 years younger. You bozo. I don't like the language of miscarriage. People would tell me to my face, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you lost the baby. I was like, I don't think I lost the baby. I think the baby had high standards and it left. I think the baby was floating around my rickety old uterus going, this place is a disaster. I don't want to be here. Why are there hangers everywhere? I'll show myself out, madam. Slid down my leg like a fireman down the pole. It's hard to be a mother. I have so many decisions I had to make. I had to figure out whether to circumcise my son or not. You know, I didn't want to do it. My feeling is that's his junk. You know, he could circumcise himself if he wanted to. Right? That's how you get Eagle Scout, by the way, a self-circumcision. That's why there's like 3 a year, okay? They get to the final patch. They're like, what? So save that for him, right? But the pediatrician went insane. She's like, no, you have to circumcise your son. It's a hygiene issue. When you remove the foreskin, the penis is easier to clean. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know penises were difficult to clean. I don't have one, but it looks like a straight shot from end to end. Okay? And if anyone should be complaining about difficult to clean genitals, it's women. Right? We've got secret rooms and spinning bookshelves. I don't know what the fuck's going on in here. But guess what? I clean it every day. It's often the best hour of my day. How lazy are you guys that you'd rather cut part of it off? Honestly, wake up 5 minutes earlier. How about that? Spend a little extra time cleaning your penises in the shower. Plus, I've never heard a guy say his penis was dirty. That's never a problem I've ever encountered. I've never been like in bed with a guy and we're about to do it, then, oh, I'd love to put it in you, but it's filthy tonight. It's covered in dust and spackle and sand dollars. All right, guys. I like how you guys aren't flooding me with laughter. I'm not being filled with false confidence. You're pursing it out. My ex cheated on me, and here's what happened. I intercepted an email she sent him, and it said, "You have a handsome penis." I was like, oh my God, he's cheating on me with a blind woman. This is a double whammy. Now, here's the thing. I don't normally think men are this way and women are this way, but I did notice this, all right? This broke on gender lines. I would tell my female friends my boyfriend cheated, and they would all respond exactly alike. They'd all be like, oh, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. Like, super sympathetic like women are, you know? Then I would tell my male friends he cheated, and they also responded alike, but it's always something like, how'd you find out? Well, I hacked into his computer.
How'd you figure out his password?
It was his name.
I gotta go.
All right, that's it for me, you guys. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Ari Kilmartin. Great, great, great. We got Tommy Jonagan coming up in just a minute. And I hope, boy, that was great, Lori. Thank you. That was just great, wasn't it? It really was. And my name is Bert Hessel. I'm not, right now, Phil is not available. So I'd like to come up and do some emceeing. Is that all right with you? How are you, sir? You're new. You just arrived. You know, you're new on the earth, aren't you? You arrived via the capsule that I think they've discovered out here in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, that's fantastic. It is an amazing world that people can land in a capsule and come out and do what you and immediately go to a club. This is what I think should be done, and your girlfriend's applauding that. This is wonderful. How are you? You're over here in the hinterlands, yes. So it looks like we're filling this dump up. I mean, this beautiful club up. It's great to see so many of you tonight. It's called Phil Hendry and Friends. So just remember that. And no, I shouldn't. It's very kind of the improv to have us here. Friends are important, are they not? Yeah, they are. Oh, listen, somebody. That's psychopathic school number one. The one that laughs at shit like that is nuts. Kind of like saying, you know, children are wonderful, aren't they? Well, that would be worthy of a laugh. I have friends. I've got a long time group of friends I've known since I was a kid, since I was 16. You were looking at your penis. As soon as I said I have friends, he went. And I have. I've known him since I was 16. Now, here's the thing. I'm 63. I don't give a shit who knows it, you know, because I'm not afraid of dying. I ain't afraid of nothing now. I'm so old. It don't matter. You can't do nothing to me. I feel like I'm in a World War II movie, you know, like, you can't do nothing to me. So here's the thing. When I was 16 years of age, I'm going to let you in on something. This is a true story, and Lauren can attest. She's over there, my girlfriend. She's known me about 45 minutes, and I just met her, and she knows everything about me. When I was 16, we crept down the side of a house of a friend of ours, myself, a guy named Jerry, and another guy named Bob, and we sawed at the root off and stole an 8-foot-high marijuana plant. We did this because... It's like I don't even know myself. We did it because it was dry, you know? You couldn't score any weed. Hey, who would know? Nixon had a thing called Operation Intercept. Real old ancient history drug shit. Anyway, we saw this thing off, and we peeled off the leaves. We dried them out, and we spent the next 3 weeks smoking this shit. And we didn't tell anybody that we'd stolen this plant because the guy we stole it from was a friend of ours. In fact, I remember creeping down the side of the house to steal this plant, and I looked in the window. Now, this was not an inner-city drug ripoff. This wasn't anything with guns. I was looking at his mom watching late-night TV, you know, while I was just... She's like, now Johnny Carson from Burbank. Actually, it was from New York. That's how long ago it was. So we took this plant, we ripped it off. Now, the years have gone by, you know, and we've gotten older, and we've had children, and we've gotten married, and now some of these guys are grandparents. Do you realize that even today, I'm scared of talking about that goddamn fucking plant in the wrong company? 63 years of age, and I'm like, you remember when we ripped that? Shut the fuck up, man. You can't talk. I'm dead serious. I am dead fucking, you have to believe me, I'm dead serious. Even now, I'm wondering, is there somebody in the club that'll go online tonight and go, Phil Hendry was on tonight, he talked about a weed plant that he stole, and some other guy goes, no shit, where was he? He was at the Emperor. Well, I may know somebody who knows him. And the next thing you know, I got a fucking spear through my thorax by tomorrow morning, you know? That's the kind of weird, that's friendship for you right there. Long-standing friendship. You know, grandparent, parent, club owner, I don't know what, business owners or multimillionaires, some of us. One of the guys that ripped that plant off with me, Truth, became a curator of a major natural history museum here in Southern California. That's the God's honest truth. And he's a fucking thief and a weed smoker. The other guy is a writer, and I met his girlfriend. His name, I'll tell you, his first name was Jerry, and when I met his girlfriend, she went, Jerome is writing while I'm waiting tables. That's our agreement. Jerome? Okay. good luck with that. So what essentially the moral of the story is this. No matter where you go in life, your friends are with you forever. Oh, yeah. and they're ready to tell someone, anyone, even a cop, all the shit you did, including their, you know, any of your relatives, wives and friends and things like that. So that's, I was mindful of that. Listen, I want to bring on a guy right now who's a very, very funny dude. He has been, and you notice how I just segued it. Listen, I'd like to just kind of do this right now, as opposed to the stupid shit I was telling you about. I'd like to segue out of the drug humor right now and bring on someone who is responsible, is funny, is professional, ain't me, and he's done Comedy Central specials. He's done all kinds of shit, man, okay? And he never sawed off a plant, especially right there at the root. You know, right? You have to let the thing grow. Forget it. Your greengrocer, Phil Hendry, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome a great guy, Tommy Jonigan. Tommy, come on, man.
Thank you, thank you. For Phil, everyone, thanks for having me here. This is exciting. This is good. It's good to be here. I have a brand new-ish baby at home. I have a 6-month-old daughter, and I have a 3-year-old daughter that I love so much more. I wish they had told you. They don't. Your whole life, you hear, I love my children equally. I can't pick a favorite, and you don't realize until you hold your second one, and you think, nope. That they've just all been lying to you. I love the old one more. She's by far my favorite. I mean, if there's an emergency and I have the opportunity to save both of them, by all means, I will save both of them. But if I feel like I have to pick one, I know where I'm going. And it's not my fault. I think I love the new baby the appropriate amount for someone you've known for 6 months and hasn't said a word to you. That's how much I love her. I love the 3-year-old too much, more than she deserves. I don't know if you've ever met a 3-year-old woman, but they're not nice people. I go to get out of her bedroom one day, and the first thing I said was, I love you, baby. And she said, I want mommy. Okay. Well, have fun getting out of your crib by yourself, you dick. I'm like, you want mommy? Well, guess why daddy's in here. Mommy heard you crying, and she said, and I quote, ugh, I'm not ready to deal with her right now. That's the shit she says about you when you're not around. Think about it. Next time you want mommy. I can't afford my children, which is my fault. You make your children expensive. It's under your control. I just made mine. We made ours too expensive. I can't afford them. I could afford 2 other children. I could afford 2 poor children. You ever seen a poor kid just walking around Target with dried mud on them? Give me 6 of them, bitches. I'll change some lives over here. I got expensive kids. My 3-year-old orders off the adult menu like she's a Kennedy. As soon as we go in, we go to the restaurant the other day and she goes, can I have salmon? I didn't have salmon until I was 29 years old. You're not getting shit that swims. You're getting the fingers of a chicken or the tender part of a chicken or the hot part of a dog. Those are your options. We bring the new baby home, as you do, and my 3-year-old daughter looks at me and she goes, Daddy, when she wakes up, can I teach her something? Well, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard, favorite baby. Of course you can teach her something. That's one less thing I'll have to do with her. And then the baby woke up and she goes, I want her to stop breathing. And then she put her hand over the baby's mouth and nose, which is how you make people stop breathing. And I'm not here to brag, but that's very advanced for a 3-year-old to know how to silently murder someone. What are you, Jason Bourne? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing with these kids. I don't know. I have no idea. Like Lori said, you have to decide whether you're going to circumcise them or not. And we decided to circumcise both of our daughters. I just didn't know if anyone was paying attention. I panic. I don't know what I'm doing, so I always have to guess if I'm having a teaching moment or not. And I'm hanging out the other day. My 3-year-old comes out with a sucker, and she goes, Daddy, if I put this lollipop on my vagina, it would be sticky. And I thought, well, this seems like a teaching moment. And then I realized it's not a teaching moment. She didn't ask me a question. That was a statement, which is 100% accurate. It was like she was in the other room doing experiments and was like, I thought you'd like to be privy to my results. So I panicked and I just go, don't you do that. And she goes, why? Why can't I put a lollipop on my vagina? And that's when I realized, I don't have all the answers, kid. I got no idea why you can't. The only reason I can think of is because we were sharing that. I thought that was half my lolly. I'm not going to go back to the bank, try to get another one. What are the odds we'd get a grape one again? You know they're cherry heavy down at B of A. I was in the delivery room for both children, which is stupid. I think we should stop doing that. The men shouldn't be in the delivery room. It's not fun. It's not supportive. It's not helpful. No man's ever helped. You've never seen a doctor sprint out of a delivery room. We were in some real trouble back there. Luckily, that man was roaming around in everyone's way, pointing at things, going, what's this one do? He's the real MVP. The only reason they want the dad in the room is so you can take a picture of the baby way before you should take a picture of a baby. This doctor didn't even take a pause. She just ripped the baby out and held it up. Take a picture. And I was like, no, I don't want to. She's purple and dripping and still hooked up. Can you unplug her first? Who am I going to show this picture to? Do you want to see the scariest thing you've ever seen in your whole life? It's not dead, but it's not alive. There's no reason to be in the delivery room. It's embarrassing. You go in there, you're a dad, they dress you up in scrubs like the doctors. There's no, I'm just watching the shit scrubs. You wear the same, I'm in head to toe scrubs. I look like a doctor, like it's Halloween. People thought I was a doctor. Oh, are you a doctor? No, I just fucked that gal on the table a while back. Then they let me play pretend all day. You mind getting me a Diet Coke stat? Concur? Concur. So they hand me this kid, my baby. I'm the first one to hold her that hasn't went to school. And I look at this baby. She's very cute now. She's cute now. You know what I mean? I posted a picture last week on Instagram. I got 300 likes. I don't know what your shit kids are getting on the internet, but mine's really pulling her weight. So she's cute now, but when she comes out and they hand her to me, I notice that her chin is all back up at her neck. Her chin's at her neck and she has an overbite. Her mouth looks like this, like she was born to hang on shit. It was weird. And I realized in that moment, well, that's why I'm here. I'm the buffer between this chin and my chick. You can't just hand the baby to her. She carried this baby for 9 months and I give her the baby. The chin's all messed up. I gotta tell her I'm like the Paul Revere of this chin. So I was like, I just leaned in, and I just go, her chin's real far back. And she was like, what? And I was like, her chin. It's not where it's supposed to be. And this nurse heard me, and she goes, "She's perfect." Well, maybe for you she is. I've got to take this bitch home. So while we got the doctors here and the insurance tab still running, let's figure this chin thing out as a group. I'm a terrible person, and I didn't realize that until I had kids. I do things on a daily basis that I think to myself, I hope my kids never do anything like this. I believe in revenge and social situations, everyday life. I'm a vigilante. If you do something to me, I'm not going to wait for karma to catch up with you. I'm right here. I'll do it. One time a woman took my parking spot, and then she got out of her car and just goes like this. And I thought, you don't even know what you just happened to your, what may just happen to you. So she gets out and she waves at me and she goes in. And I pull up, I just get out of my car. It's not even in a parking spot. And I go into a 7-Eleven and I buy a banana instinctually. I didn't think about it. My DNA told me buy a banana. And I didn't buy it to shove it in her tailpipe like some rookie. What I did was I went back to her car with that banana and I mushed it up under her door handle. And the reason I did that is because I'm positive if you go back to your car and you open your door and the first thing you feel is a mushed up banana, you're not going to think it's a mushed up banana. You're going to think some of the worst things you've ever thought in your whole life. You'll cut your hand off in the streets before you get to banana. So this broad took my spot and I ruined her January. And I think we're even now. One time a lady cut me off in traffic and then flipped me off on top of that, and my first thought was hit her car with your car. My second thought was throw your coffee mug through her back window. The second thought is supposed to be not crazy. So I thought, don't do either of those. Leave this one alone, and I go to pass her on her right, and as I'm passing her, I realize that her passenger window is down. I don't know if she rolled it down or if the Lord himself rolled it down, but I know it's down. And it's meant to be there. And as our cars become even, I take a protein shake from my cup holder and whap, and just throw it. It's in one of those cups, so it explodes as it's leaving my car, and it covers her person and her vehicle in chocolate protein. And I didn't think, man, you have a problem. Talking to someone could probably help you a lot. What I thought, I swear to God, the moment before I threw it, I looked into her car, and that was the first moment that I realized it was a woman. And I still threw it. And I thought, I think that makes me an equal rights type of guy. I just treated this woman the same as I would have treated a man, which means I'm better than everyone. That's what I took from that scenario. I'm going to tackle the wage gap next. I said I didn't need the light, Dax! Sorry. Real amateurs running this operation back there. I'm not married, but I wear a wedding ring, and the reason is because we have two kids, and we're tired of your questions. So I've just started lying to people, and I bought prop jewelry. This ring means nothing. We don't believe in marriage. She doesn't want to get married. I don't want to get married. She has her reasons. I have mine. I don't want to marry a chick that has two kids. Personally, it seems like a lot of baggage. I don't need that in my life right now. I have two kids to think about. I can't have some white trash single mom dragging us down with her bad decisions. I don't believe in monogamy, and it's my dad's fault. The reason is, I swear to God, this is a story, I'll get out of this real quick. My dad, I was 18 years old, I have a girlfriend, and I get a call from a girl I went to high school with, and she said, "Hey, we've always been flirty, but we've never done anything about it. I'm going to leave for college, and I want to meet up, and I want to have sex. And I know you have a girlfriend, but I'll never tell anyone." And at 18 years old, I was smart enough to think, this is a trap. Nothing has ever seemed like a trap, but this is a trap. But I didn't say this is a trap. I said to her, "Can I think about it? I'll call you right back." And I hung up the phone and I called my dad. And the reason I called my dad was because he was always open and honest with me in every situation. One time I asked him, "How do you give a woman an orgasm?" And he talked to me for 30 minutes in vivid detail. And then he goes, "And sometimes it just doesn't happen." And I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to be really bad at this. So I call and say, "Hey, Dad, I got a girlfriend and I like her, but I get a call from this other girl. She says she wants to meet up and have sex, and she said she'll never tell anyone." And then it gets real quiet. And my dad goes, "You don't get that call every day." Which is the most true thing anyone could ever say. And he goes, "I think you should do it." That was his fatherly advice. "I think you should do it." He goes, you're 18. You and this gal's going to break up, and the first thing you'll do when you break up is regret not having sex with this other girl. And if you guys don't break up, we'll call this the one you squeezed in under the deadline. I was like, I think that holds water. So I met up with this girl, and we had sex in a hotel, and we have sex, and it's not great. And then we leave the hotel, and I'm not exaggerating by 1 second. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I get in my car, and my phone rings, and it's my dad. And he goes, I've been thinking about it all night. I don't think you should do it. I was like, well, you don't get this call every day. And that's it for me, guys. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it.
Baby, a man, I met a little Tommy John again. Tommy John again. That was outstanding, man. What'd you fuck up, Dax? Huh? Everything? Okay. Well, at least you're honest, and by God, we'll keep you in the company then. I like that. I like the honesty of that. You fucked everything up. We're going to be out of business in 6 months. You're my man. You are my man for that. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you like the show so far? All right, so they're making a lot of noise. Half of them are gone. Okay, so, no, it's great. We're going to have Kathy Ladman coming up next. Stick around. Don't fuck up and leave. Go out and get mugged or die in an automobile accident out there somewhere, which is very likely tonight because of all the assholes in Hollywood. I live at the beach, as I mentioned, and I just, as a public service, I want to let you know, don't move there, not to the one I live at, because I live next to a Navy base. Now, the reason why I say that, and I know that everybody's local here, but there is a difference between living at the OC and living up in Ventura County, where there's sea lions and big ships with a whole bunch of guys from the Netherlands, you know, and they're getting off and going, well, this looks real good. What do you do? Go over to the fucking Pick and Save? God damn. I didn't come all the way over here from Northern Europe, all blistery and redheaded and fucked up, to come to this goddamn sea lion preserve and go over to a Pick and Save. Bullshit. Well, there's some nice Mexican food. Now you're talking. And also what we find, and I know Lauren is, she's my girlfriend. She's been there occasionally. I can't make out which one are you, honey. I'm joking. So the other thing that's really exciting about it is I live in a working class beach. Now, what does that mean? It means the following thing. There's not a lot of guys with car elevators. There's not a lot of lawyers. There's not a lot of OC. There's not a lot of EC, IC, ICU, bullshit, this, whatever. It's a whole bunch of goddamn commercial fishermen snorting heroin. Now then, seriously, you notice the look on my face? Almost as if I lost a friend to heroin. I haven't, but he was a dear friend of mine, a goddamn great line-catching tunaman, too, you know? And what happened? Died of heroin overdose. You don't think of that when you think of a wild out, you know, like a nature guy. How many of you guys saw The Grizzly Man? Well, you missed it, man, if you didn't, because he got eaten by a fucking bear at the end of that thing. Oh, listen, here again, my psychopath is here. She's back. I mentioned something about grandmothers, and she went, bah, ha, ha. Now a man gets eaten by a bear, and she's dying on that one. The reason why I bring up Grizzly Man is because of the natural tendency for us to go into the wild and to enjoy and love and sweet and kiss on and hug and, you know, fuck and hunch bears. And they'll turn around and eat your fucking ass, man. So I would not suggest that. Last night, by the way, you wouldn't know this, but I'm a television star. Well, I had 3 lines in a movie last night, and they had a coyote on set. Now, I don't know how many of you have to fuck with those goddamn things, man, but they look pretty scary to me. And they yip their asses off, and I just want to go over there and just get into a fist fight with those fuckers. You know, because then they'll be on the hillside behind your house at night. I don't know if you live. You guys say you're local, but I don't think so. I'm worried about this. I think you all got off that goddamn flying saucer this dude got off of. anyway, these fucking coyotes sit up in the hill behind your house, and they're like, oh. Fuck that, man. So I want to go up there and just kick their asses or party, one of the two. But it's generally over a dead fucking rabbit or something, so that's not my thing. Now, I don't have anything against coyotes except they've eaten like 16 of my last pets, which, you know, you feel for it. I had 16 cats, dogs, little pups, everything was great. Coyotes ate every last one of those motherfuckers, you know. Otherwise, I'm seriously into preserving our wildlife. And ate one of my kids and a wife. But hey, lady here thinks I'm serious. So I heard you say, oh no. Have you had a coyote eat anybody? Well, now she's looking at me like I'm the biggest piece of shit in the history of the world. Honey, I was kidding. You know, nobody, no, it didn't eat my children. No, no. My kids were run over by a dump truck. The, yeah, little infant went out there, tried to tell them their shit, and it wasn't good. I mean, Tommy could speak to this, but I had a little three-year-old, and she went out, "You motherfuckers fucking this up. Here's a truck down here." You know, that was the end of him. All I'm doing is I'm stalling to make sure that they get the right tequila in before I go back over to the bar. I, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very grateful that you're with us this evening. I'm laughing because, to keep from crying. I heard Kathy up here begging, Laura was up here. Who was up here? Well, then who's Kathy? No, you're not. No, the Kathy I'm waiting for ain't you. No, I'm kidding. I know Kathy. Actually, I wasn't talking about you, Kathy Ladman. I was talking about Kathy Fitzgibbon, who was somebody that I fed to a coyote. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue on with the Laugh Fest that we've got going on here. I know a lot of you are waiting for our next performer, who is absolutely, and Kathy, you weren't here to let me know all the marvelous things you've done, but it's okay. She's done a lot of marvelous things. She's incredibly funny, incredibly entertaining, and I'm very, very proud to have her with us tonight on Phil Henry and Friends. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up now for Kathy Ladman. Kathy Ladman.
Phil Henry, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody listen to Phil on the radio? How funny is he? Oh, my God. I've almost run into another car laughing listening to you. So it's great to be here tonight, huh? Isn't it? Wow, you are something. Thank you very much. So I did my makeup to make myself look older and more tired tonight. How'd I do? Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, I have quite a touch. You know, a lot of women, when they get older, they put on more and more makeup. They think it's going to make them look younger. It doesn't make them look younger. It makes them look like transvestites. Makeup is such an odd thing, isn't it? How many women here are wearing makeup tonight? I would say pretty much anybody, any woman not wearing makeup here tonight. Look at that. No one. No one. It's a thing. It's a thing. I think it's catching on. And it's odd when you stop to think about it. It's really an odd thing. Like I got up one morning and I looked at myself in the mirror and I went, I don't look so good. Maybe if my eyelids were blue, I'd be more attractive. Where the hell did that come from? All right, I'll do that. Oh, yeah, they knew what they were talking about, yeah. I'm not doing the plastic surgery, though. I'm not going to do that, no. I'm not going down that rabbit hole. And the most I'm willing to do is to hold my upper arm flaps back with chip clips. Because I don't want to hurt anyone while I'm waving goodbye. I'll tell you what, you know, and look at my roots, huh? I think it's been 4 months. I'm letting my hair grow out. You know what? I'll tell you something. The first 20 years of my life, I was trying to seem older. The next 20 years of my life, I was trying to act my age. And then the next 20 years, I was trying to look younger. And now I give up. I just give up. That's it. I am just going to be who I am. I'm 60 years old. I don't care anymore. And I'm going to tell you everything on me that's fake. My hair is real, okay? I smell good. It's not my natural aroma. It's not what I normally smell like. I hope you don't mind. Some people don't like, cologne. I hope you don't mind it. Bad cologne is really bad. It's really bad. Vegas colognes are, I think, the worst kind of colognes. You know, when the hotels decide they're going to have their own colognes. Yeah, that's what I want to smell like. Caesar's Palace. I want to smell just like Caesar's. I want to smell like cigarette smoke and losing. That's what I want to smell like. And when people get older, also, they put on a lot of cologne. Like I was in Vegas in an elevator with an older woman, and she was wearing so much cologne, I could actually hear it. That's a lot of cologne. I don't normally have these black lines around my eyes, you know, around my lash line. I put those on so you could see my eyes while I'm on stage. I don't know why guys don't have to do it when they come on stage, you know. You could see everybody else's. You could see Phil's eyes fine, right? Why do I feel like I have to put the thing on? I don't know. My brows, I filled in my brows a little bit because they're getting very thin. My mother, it's so nice. Every time I visit my mother, she always, this is the first thing out of my mother's mouth last time. Your brows are so thin. When did that happen? Hi, I just flew across the country. It's nice to see you. You know what? I had a little scare in the shower tonight. I did. I was late, and I'm washing, and I'm starting to wash my body, and I look down on my arm, and I see this black line, just about maybe a quarter of an inch long, and I thought, oh, it must be ink or dirt or something, and I'm pushing it, and nothing's happening. And then plus, it's very attractive, you know, because I'm 60, my arms are like crepey. So I'm pushing it, and it's like moving down a little bit, because there's no elasticity. It's very pretty. And nothing's happening. So I kind of go like that, and it was a splinter, but it wasn't even hurting. And I thought, well, maybe this isn't a splinter. Maybe some kind of insect has burrowed under my skin. That's where I go. I'm on a lot of medication now. Actually, it's taking up, I am, as I open it, on all my medication and my vitamins take up an entire 3 shelves. Now, true, there are refills that go into the back depths of the cabinet, but that's a lot of medication. That's a lot. And I do take a lot of supplements, too, besides medication. But the medication is what I'm talking about here, okay? So I have a pill caddy. Yes, I've reached that point in my life that I have a pill caddy. And it's a nice one, too. I really like it, by the way. If you're in the market for a pill caddy, this one you can actually take each individual day out if you're traveling just for a weekend and you want to take the whole week with you. Hi, welcome to Old People with Kathy Ladman. Today we're going to have some pill caddy tips. Okay, so my pill caddy just has AM, PM, my morning pills and my evening pills. Okay, then I just had an... This is how much medication I'm taking now. My doctor just added one pill to my evening, and I couldn't close the PM compartment. I know, it was very upsetting. So now I have to move to another pill caddy that has like bigger ones. It looks like for people who can't see. I can't see. That's going to be about that big. The giant pill caddy has no. It's not graceful. It's not graceful anymore. It's like those. I need books for the blind. You know, you need like the big. I need the books that with the big print. So it's going to be a giant pill caddy, and then as I get older, I'm going to be moving through pill caddies. I mean, this is what it's going to be if I'm lucky enough to stay alive. I'll be having bigger and bigger pill caddies. And then I'm going to go to one that has AM, excuse me, and that's going to be morning, afternoon, and evening. And I'm going to go to one of those. Then it's going to be morning, early afternoon, evening, and night. Then the next step is I'm just going to dump all my pills into a coffin and just jump right in after them and just burrow around like it's a ball pit. Wouldn't that be fun? For the capsules, that would be fun with the capsules. Tablets aren't as fun. Capsules are slippery. That's it. Oh, God, I am so old. By the way, Tommy said he wears a wedding ring just for, it's just for effect, just to keep questions away. I am married and I am not wearing a wedding band, and that's what we'll be talking about in couples therapy tomorrow morning, ladies and gentlemen. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, I know what I want to talk about. There was an ad for medication. Because I watch MSNBC, and there are so many ads for medication and MSNBC because that's their wheelhouse. And there was one ad for medication that, and they're giving, and they're telling, you know, at the end, the disclaimers, and they said, do not Do not drink grapefruit juice while taking this medication. Please talk to your doctor if not drinking grapefruit juice is not an option. Wow, huh? Can you imagine that? Ah, doctor, I have to drink grapefruit juice. I'm sorry, I have to. Why? Because I like it. That's why. And I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die and take this medication and drink my grapefruit juice. That's how much I like grapefruit juice, so you got to come up with another pill for me, obviously. You know, I've never been a good decision maker, ever. Ever. I make very... The thing is with me, it's like I don't have, like, there are no hierarchies in my life. Like, everything is important. Everything is equally important. Like, should I marry this person? Should I buy this shirt? It's either all right up there, all right up there. And I have no confidence in myself. I have very low self-esteem. Interesting that I do this, isn't it? Actually, it is. It makes a lot of sense because we are so needy. We are so needy, the people who stand up here, that we need the love of strangers in the dark. People whose faces we may never see. We need you to love us. Please, please. I will risk everything for you. But then on the other hand, you know, public speaking is the biggest fear in the world. Did you know that's the number one fear? Anybody know that? I'm here to educate, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I'm here. I'm here to give you good information. So I've never been a good decision maker. And so I went to the eye doctor for my checkup recently, and I'm sitting in the chair, and it gets to the point where he puts the giant thing on my face. You know the giant thing. Everybody's had an eye checkup, correct? Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, please. I know that you're not completely in the dark, by the way. I can identify you, by the way, if push comes to shove. So he puts the giant thing on, and he's checking. He goes, is it better like this or is it better like this? And I said, I forgot. I can't remember. Could you do it one more time? Is it better like this or is it better like this? Oh, boy, this is really tough. Just one more time, okay? Okay, is it better like this? Better like this. How about you decide, okay? You tell me. I'll wear whatever glasses you'd like me to wear. However you want me to see. It's fine. You know what's terrible? This is a very short, like we're on stage for a very short amount of time, and I've barely gotten into who I am, and now I have to say goodbye. And now I have to end big. You can't barely get into something and then end big. So just don't expect much, okay? Don't expect much at all. Boy, this is not good. I'm running out of things. I'm really running out of things, boy. It's not good. Ay, ay, ay. You know, I am such a different person now than I was 10 years ago. So why do I still expect my pants to fit me? I don't understand. Why don't I give myself a break? I don't know. That's not good. It's not good. You know what? I love my dog, by the way. I am so in love with my dog. My husband and my daughter are two very strong negative personalities. My dog... I love him. I kiss him on the mouth. Does anybody else have a dog? By applause. Oh, that's a great, nice animal-loving audience. I like that. That's good. You have a dog? Do you kiss him on the mouth? Yeah. I played to this audience. And nobody kissed them. They all went. They were so judgmental. They went, oh. I said, you people are horrible people. Horrible. So I kissed my dog on the mouth, and actually the other day I ate something and then he kissed me on the mouth, and I thought, oh, he loves me. And then I realized he just wants to taste the leftover chicken. That's all he wants. But what's interesting to me is how differently I treat him than the other members of my family. Like, when my dog is sleeping, I look at him and I am so overcome with just such enormous love that I actually cannot even articulate it. And when I see my husband sleeping, I think, great. Now I have to take out the recycling. Thanks a lot. See, I told you not to expect much. That is the last thing I'm going to be saying to you. That was it. So eat it up. Thank you very much. Good night.
Kathy Ladman, love her. Yeah, Kathy. There is the stool. But notice how we all come up with the phones? You've seen that? Is everybody doing that? No, just me and Kathy, I think. And I don't have anything. There's no notes here. I just want to make sure I got it. Because I don't want anybody hijacking the goddamn pictures out of this son of a bitch. And anybody have that mirror TV? Now, I don't know if you know what mirror TV is, but it takes your iPhone, and the mirror TV television will take anything off that iPhone and put it right up there on that television screen for the whole world to see. And you may think that that's a great move. Hey, baby, how about if I... Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, just put that thing up. Bang! There's the picture he didn't want her to see. So the reason why I bring that up, there were homicides in San Bernardino last month that I'd read about that had to do with that, and if a lot of you may connect that, you're right. And not the one that you're thinking of. I'm thinking of smaller, less significant ones, one dead body at a time, you know, as opposed. How many people here, by the way, before we bring up Steve Simone, and then we have Charles Fleischer, the great Charles Fleischer tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Charles Fleischer is an idol of mine. This is a voice extraordinaire, great voice talent. And I grew up doing voices for money. I had to eat. And I didn't know anything else to do. I tried to mow lawns. I said, fuck it, kid. What are you doing with the lawn, man? Well, I took it and I mowed. You didn't mow shit. The fucking thing, it's all over the goddamn place. There's a swastika out there. What is that? Well, it's a joke or something. I don't know. And he said, get out of here. Then I tried delivering papers. And I had a guy one day, hey, kid, let me explain something to you, okay? Yes, sir? When the paper, it's got to be on my property, not him. Not him, me here. See, you're throwing it on the roof of the other guy's house. Oh, okay. I fucked that up. So finally I said, well, let me go and do commercials and do funny voices and shit. Then I got into radio. I don't know how many, I know Allie is here. Oh, she's gone. Allie's left, and she left a note saying, that it was great, Phil, but not great enough. No, she's right there. Allie knows this, unfortunately, that radio today, ladies and gentlemen, is probably, well, let me just say it. It's done, man. It's really messed up. And I knew it was messed up. I work late nights, and I understand that late night, it's tough to get advertisers. Late night radio, it's very tough to get advertisers. Go ahead and listen to late night radio. What do you hear? You know, the hand crank human feces chili maker. That's right. Shit into it, and it comes out chili. It's fucking great. That's right. We'll send you to the moon in our astro rocket. You'll blast off and go to the moon, we swear to God. Well, there's a few provisos. And then they have all that survival shit, which is like, what? Who is listening to the radio, man? I understand cats work late, third shift. I used to have third shift listeners all the time. I loved my third shift listeners. When I worked in Minneapolis, 2 o'clock in the morning, cats are coming out of the Planters Peanut Factory. Those are my third shift guys. And hey, Phil, we love your show, this and that. Now it's like dudes that are in the hills trying to pick up Radio Beijing, you know, to figure out... Find out when they're attacking, Bob. Let's do it, you know. And they've got, you know, Bo Greitz on the line, and they're in connection with the white supremacists, and it's pretty scary, man. And, Phil, we got yourself a new advertiser. Really, who's that? White Supremacy Skin Cream. Now, this shit will keep your ass white and sell it. Well, Bob, I could sell it, man, if you want to get paid. Hey, man, would you like to stay white? This skin cream, man, no way. No tan will take with this shit. Guaranteed. And then, of course, there's not only that. Seriously, there's like a hand-cranked radio so you can crank it and you don't need electricity. They gave me one. And you want to know something? I used it. I used it one night when we had a power outage. And my wife says, well, what are we going to do? I said, I got the hand-cranked radio upstairs. We're saved. Thank Christ. We're saved. You know, what the fuck are you crying about, man? It's a power outage. Southern California Edison will be here in 3 minutes. I don't know. Then there was the time that I needed to get rid of a rash, and it was the gold bond. No, I'm kidding about that. But that's the other thing. They have the advertisements for the old people. So it's either hemorrhoid cream or some shit that gets rid of a rash in your crotch. It's bad, man. It's no good. It's not the kind of advertising you want. So I knew the radio business was done. And I had to get the fuck out of that shit. And I decided to go digital, and we have our own show, and we do a digital show from our studio at our house at the beach. I know it sounds good, but it's like I haven't seen the beach in probably 6 months because I'm always working. Although we send the cats down there occasionally to shit on it just to tell us how that was. But doing a digital show I thought would be fantastic because we do have subscribers, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We certainly hope you do. Thank you. Yes, my girlfriend. But we do that, and we make a fairly decent living. Enough of a living. We went to Hawaii, although we hated the hotel. And where else do we go, honey? The same place in the desert where they fucked up the bottle opener, right? So it's not quite that good of a living. But I will tell you that while we do that, we still have advertisers. What are the advertisers I have now? Some kind of weird shit like Bob's Monkey Gel or something. What is that supposed to do, you know? Bob's Monkey Gel. It'll keep your penis looking like a penis in case it's evolving into something else. What the fuck are you talking about, man? I knew digital was weird, you know? So getting out of radio was probably one of the greatest things that ever happened to me because, you know, I own my own business, and that's always great. Anybody own their own business here? Is anybody employed here? I'm sorry, I should have started with that, and I didn't. Oh, there's two people applauding. Yay! I answer phones. Great. I'm kidding, Allie. If you're self-employed, it's a wonderful thing because you get to fuck with people underneath you, fire them. No, I'm kidding. If you're self-employed, it means that you're, you know, self-employed, which means you can pay yourself any salary you want. So your company makes profit, and you pay yourself any salary you want. Sure, you get fucked at the end of the year with the federals, but hey, you know, I'm making all this goddamn money, man. I make $1 million a year. I think I'll take $1 million a year in salary, okay? When you wind up in prison, then what? Well, I'll be in England or someplace. I'll be in Rio de Janeiro. So that's what I've decided to do with my life is just, I'm in the waiting room for prison right now, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring up a very, very funny cat. He has been on Comedy Central. He's all over the place, and he's going to continue to be all over the place because he's a funny dude. We got Stephen Simone right now, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen Simone, and of course, they're on Charles Fleischer. Stephen, come on up, man. Buddy, I don't know what the hell, man. I think I just carved that up, dude.
Hey, guys, one more time for Phil. Room's on fire tonight. You guys feel like a surprise party like 13 seconds before the guy shows up, like you're trying to be quiet on purpose. I don't know what I'm doing. This is what I dressed like. I don't know how to dress. I realize I walk past a mirror and I think I look like a teacher on a field trip. That's what I look like. You know what I mean? Like, I want to look presentable, but I also want the kids to think I'm cool. Do you remember that? Where you're like, Mr. Simone's wearing jeans? Oh my gosh. I'm glad I brought my permission slip. That's the best. I feel like I just walked into your living room. This is so intimate. Because, like, normally, like, it feels like a comedy club. And, like, you're smiling. Everybody else, I feel like, is judging me. Like, we'll get to it. Like, I feel like the car broke down and my cell phone. Can I use your phone? You're positive, positive. And here, I can't see you. I just feel you judging me, and it's very uncomfortable. You're laughing. That's it. I don't even know why. I was like, I can't see you judging me. Like. You guys want to just say fuck it and order a pizza and call it a night right now? I think that would be the best. Dude, if you were a room full of six-year-olds and I was like, do you want to order a pizza? You guys would have been like, oh, shit. Panama, we got to get pizza. Right? Like, I remember because I was a chubby kid. I wouldn't even let my parents finish the word. They're like, do you want to order I was like, pizza? Can we get pizza? I would try to trick my mom into ordering it. Like, because I wasn't fat. My big brother was fat. It went, like, in my house, it went, like, the older you were, the faster you could eat. So the heavier you were. My little brother, I'm not lying, was so skinny that when he got excited, you could see his heart beating in his chest. That's not an exaggeration. Like, when it would be pizza, he'd be like, Mom, please, save me a slice. Chris, he's on two slices. I haven't had one slice. It's always a mistake to talk about family in Los Angeles. People are like, what is brother? What's that? It's a terrible, like, because I grew up with brothers and we treated each other awful. See, I can feel you going, oh, don't tell us. Like, that's what family is. Family is people you're allowed to treat awful and they have to accept you back. It's amazing. Did anybody grow up with siblings? I know it's, well, dude, think about it. If you treated a stranger as bad as you treated your brothers or sisters, you'd be in fucking jail right now. Every day a felony was committed in my house. Every day. Could be simple extortion, right? Blackmail. Oh, I'll tell mom. Here, take whatever you want. Any of these baseball cards. Not the rookie card. I will tell mom myself. Blackmail, extortion, assault, always. You're like, as a little boy, you don't know how to use your words until you get punched really hard once. And then you're like, you guys get quiet so fast. Like, I hear the laughs, and I'm like, oh, this isn't going so bad. And you're like, suck it, chubby. It's just, it's like, as soon as I feel like I'm about to get into material, you guys are like, did that really happen? Right? There's a difference. I prefer this. I do. I hate when, I'm watching comedy, and I know the comedian's lying. It's unwatchable, but there. You ever see it on TV? Where they're like, so last week I was at the grocery store, and the audience is like, he's going to tell us. I knew something zany happened. Right? If I did that with you guys, if I was like, so last week I was at the grocery store, you guys would be like, were you? Do you even shop for yourself? Do you know anything about nutrition? No, I just bought ice cream and cookies. I only buy kale so chicks think I have my life together. Well, we could talk about my girlfriend. She sure is crazy. Is she? Do you even have a girlfriend? I don't know if I still do. Is that too honest? Like, I think we broke up, but it's been long enough where I think it might have been a mistake. Because she's nice. Yeah, one girl laughs, all the other ones are like, I bet she isn't. Because, like, I want to have kids. I want them. I know, because I didn't come from here. I come from the East Coast, where that's what you do. And, you ever talk, like, people look at me like I'm crazy. Like, bro, why would you have kids? Your life's all about you now. Doesn't that make you happy? It's the most miserable place. I think L.A. is just an entire city where people brag, then go cry secretly. Like, that's Los Angeles. Like, let's take a picture. This is my new car. It's awesome. By the way, I totally felt loved as a child. I'll be right back. That's the saddest place on earth. Yep. You know how much money I make? That means I've got it all together. I'll be right back. Nobody ever sang happy birthday, ever. Whenever I see somebody in a Ferrari, I sing happy birthday to my, like, to you, right? Have you ever seen anybody in a Ferrari that look like, oh, that guy looks like a kind person? No. They always look like some sort of, like, weapons dealer or something. They're always screaming at somebody on the phone, like, it's not my kid. I didn't tell you to have it. Fuck you. Like, whoa. Right? When I was a kid, I thought if you had a Ferrari, you had the best life ever. I thought it, like, meant you lived on a boat and you solved crimes. And, like, I did. I thought, like, Spuds McKenzie would be riding shotgun and David Lee Ross in the backseat, like, Panama. And you're like, Ferrari life. And that's when chicks in bikinis pull up. I did. Like, I remember when I was like, because I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia, I never saw a Ferrari like twice my whole childhood. Me and my friends would be on a bike. I'd be like, Ferrari. My friend's like, that's a Fiero. I'm like, it's still fucking cool, right? Should we wait for the guy to come out? We did. Yeah, my friend Jason once, there's a store called Wawa. It's kind of like 7-Eleven, but way better. Yeah, you know what I'm not lying. So, okay, my friend Jason, like, okay. He was hauling ass so bad, like his butt wasn't touching the seat. He was coming back from the Wawa, and he was like, "Caca, caca, Ferrari, Ferrari." We're like, "You better not be lying." He's like, "There's no time." He didn't even get off his bike. He just did a Paul Revere circle, and I'm a fat kid. We look like the Goonies going down. I was like, "Are we going to see the Ferrari? Are we going to see the Ferrari?" And it was like, "Ooh." My little brother was like, "I think it was Magnum." I'm like, "I don't know." He was like, "No, I saw the helicopter earlier. It might have been TC." So that was the big disappointment, moving to L.A. and seeing Ferraris all the time. And nobody looked happy. All right, I'm out of shape. You hear me breathing heavy now? I was like, why did you do the bike bit? I'm just saying, like, when you compare people in Ferraris, do they ever look happy? Like, best case scenario, it's some guy that you could tell that earned it. That's like, got his Tommy Bahama shirt on because the cool car needs the cool shirt. And he's like, oh, shit. And then you see him and he's just like, I thought the car was going to make me happy. You just want to hug him. I'm just saying, compare that dude to the family, like in the broken down Camry, fucking rocking out the Hall & Oates. And they're like, hey, we have to love each other. It's all we can afford. It's a fucking better life. I'd rather have somebody to hang out with and have Pete's Payday Pizza on Friday than to go to some douchebag club where it's like, bro, you know how much this bottle costs? I'm totally not going to go cry. Just save my spot at the table. That's all Instagram is. Click. Okay. Camera's off. I really do believe it. I think every time we don't see Kanye West, he's in the fetal position crying. Every time we don't see him, then he gets up and he's like, you know who's the best person in the world? I am. Nobody's more insecure than rappers. They brag like a fat kid at a new school. My dad got me this, and that's a good joke. I'm glad you liked it. So sad. It is true, right? Fuck. Dude, if you're with the right people, you don't have to do anything cool. Nothing. Dude, if you're with the right people, you just order Chinese food. You're like, oh, shit. Panama. It's like hitting the lotto. It's the greatest. Because, like, here's the thing. In L.A., people are so fucking picky about food. Right? Like, you could be at my house. I'm going to pay for food, and you're still going to complain. Dude, you want to get some pizza? I can't have gluten. Then don't eat it. Just smell mine, dick. You want a barbecue? As long as there's plenty of veggies, can't have meat. All right, man, let's just order something. I don't know what we can. Started the paleo diet, down 8 pounds. I'm going to go cry, and then we'll order food. That's why I love Chinese food, because think about it. There's something on that menu for everybody. You're a vegetarian? Steamed vegetables. Paleo diet? Meat on a stick. You can do that. You're an OG fat ass like myself. Let's split something deep fried. You want to make that happen, right? That's the only type of food where you can do that, right? And then the thing about Chinese food is you don't have it all the time. So when people go Chinese food, they're like, ooh, yeah, I think, like, you think that it's like a treat. And then I just had to say Chinese food, and I'm doing the fat guy thing where I can taste it in my mouth. Like, are we going to get appetizers? You're goddamn right we're getting appetizers. I've been an egg roll man since 78. I'm not a savage, right? So then, this is what I love. I love when people are like, where are we going to order it from? And there's always some dick taking out his phone. Let's Yelp it. Yelp it. No, I have a menu around here somewhere. Think about how Chinese food menus come into your life. That's proof God's real. They just show up out of nowhere. You walk out of the supermarket, there's one on the dash of your car. You open your door and there's one. They just put it in the door. You don't even hear the guy. They sneak up like a ninja, like Foo's Palace. Once I was watching SportsCenter and the menu floated in like the feather from Forrest Gump. I'm like, J Dragon, I'm going to hold on to this. Right? So then that's just looking for the menu's an adventure. Everybody's like, where's the menu? You're ripping apart the kitchen like you're on CSI, right? And then you're like, caw-caw, caw-caw, I found soy packets. We must be close. Right? And then you're like, there's a fortune cookie. Don't open it. Right? It could be bad luck. And then when you find the menu, it's like, whoo, everybody gathers around it like the Goonies in a treasure map. Like, ooh, look, they have combination plates. Are we getting entrees or combinations? We could do it all. We're growing right. It's the greatest. I love it. And then, okay. And then people start getting excited and they hog it. Wait, you took too much time, right? So then people are like, I'm going to get General's chicken. And then somebody's like, that's what I was going to get. Wait, let's not get the same thing. Okay. How about I get General's chicken and you get Mongolian beef? That was my backup plan. We'll split it. So now people start trading food and it looks like the commodities pit in Chicago. Okay, I'll give you two of my dumplings. I get some of your chicken. Who's writing this down? And then you have to write it down. And then what I love doing is calling the restaurant with the whole order. Like, I'm going to impress the people. Like, you ready for this? Right? And then I came from a fat family. Like, if we had got a birthday cake, my dad would be like, babe, it says it feeds 14. How many? Well, with my parents, that makes 8. We better get a bigger cake. Like, that's – so then this is how serious I take food. When I say your order over the phone, I make eye contact with you. Like, one, General's chicken, extra crispy. And the person's like, yeah. And then you move on. Like, you have to get the nonverbal from the person. Like, two orders of extra sauce on the side, not on the chicken. Yeah. So then you go over the whole order, and then somebody's like, is that it? And then somebody else will be like, well, I don't know. Well, how hungry are you? That's translation. We're about to be fat asses right now. No judging. Like, well, how hungry are you? I didn't have lunch. It's like, neither did I. Okay, I see the crumbs on your sweater. I know you're lying. You believe me, I'll believe you. And you know, let's throw another, right? Another batch of egg rolls, and you won't. Okay, this is what I love. Because when the food finally comes, it's always about like 10 minutes later than you expected, and people are getting pissed. They're like, how many times have you ordered from this place? You sure the guy's not lost? Like, everybody starts getting mad. Like, and then when the food finally comes, this is what I love, because no matter how much Chinese food you order, if it's for two people or a room this big, no matter how much you order, it always comes in one bag. One goddamn bag. Space is a commodity over there. They don't fuck around. They have like a Tetris expert packet because it's like square, rectangle, piece of cardboard, Vietnamese newspaper clipping. You're like, are they even Chinese? Shut up. It's fucking delicious, right? So then when the guy's always in a rush and he just drops off the bag like it's illegal fireworks, and somebody, right, that's always like, not my business. Take the cash. Go. And then somebody's always like, is that all the food? It's a little bit racist. They're like, stop the guy before he leaves. He probably left something in the car. And then they say it. He probably doesn't understand English. And that's when the guy's like, what did you say, Dick? Understand English? I graduated from Berkeley, okay? I own 3 restaurants. I can't find a white kid that's not stoned, so I have to make the deliveries myself. That's a Mercedes live park, Dick. All right. You guys are awesome. Good night and God bless you. Thanks, guys.
Steve Simone, man. Beautiful. Steve Simone, you guys. Thank you, Steve. Outstanding. So, God almighty, man. He mentioned something about mom. I started thinking about my mother, which is always bad, you know. So naturally, I bring it up here. My mom was, as a matter of fact, the next wonderfully brilliant artist that we're going to present to you tonight, Charles Fleischer, is a voice artist. How many of you guys know what that is? And he's a comic, too. Well, Allie, you know, because you hang around my show and you're warped and you're fucked up, you know, because just people, fans of my show are weird. But you know what that is. It means you use your voice, and you probably know the film Roger Rabbit. Okay, great. Wow. We got problems here, Bob. So, Mr. Fleischer is brilliant that way, and using voices is quite a talent, and he does it brilliantly. I had to develop... What's that? Charles isn't here. Well, I don't give a fuck if Charles isn't here, because he's going to get here, or I'll be Charles. Is that all right with you? Oh, is this? Okay, great. Well, what we do, Charles and I and other people like us, is we sometimes will go into character. All actors do. You go into character to sort of, not so much to exorcise the demons of your life, but you go into character because the characters remind you of people you know. Like my mother. I created a character named Bobby Dooley. Bobby is based... Thank you very much. I created a character named Bobby Dooley. Thank you very much. No, I'm serious. Thank you. A lot of you don't know who this character is, and I don't give a shit. but the character Bobby Dooley is my mom.
And this is her voice. And this is the stance. And the hand. Mm-hmm. And the mm-hmm. Now, what is mm-hmm? Mm-hmm is a dismissive, like I don't give a you-know-what, what you're talking about, right? What's your name?
Aaron.
Let's pretend you're my son, and I'm looking at you, and you're telling me all about how you've just won the Nobel Prize for Peace. And I'm like, because she doesn't like your goddamn shoes, you know.
That was my mother, you know. So it'd be like, hey, Mom, you know, I have a picture here. This is me on the radio, and I have a profession, and I'm a professional broadcaster, and I'm in my 20s, and I have a job, and I'm not using as many drugs as I did. I have to use them for the profession I'm in. I'm in radio, and I do rock and roll radio. I must smoke weed. I must do cocaine, but it's not as much as I used to. Okay, so,
what is that? I don't understand. What does that mean?
I just, Mom, but, Mom, I won a Peabody Award, which is a national broadcast award. She's looking at every goddamn part of you but your face, you know, your shoes, your fucking pants, and finally, you know,
And are you going to wear that shirt to the, what is it called?
The Peabody Awards. It's the most prestigious fucking thing.
Oh, my God, Philip. You know, the language. No, the language, no.
And then she walks away. This is why matricide occurs in our society. And this is why the Norman Bates film was made. I know it shocks many of you, but I look at it fondly and with a warm heart when I see that fucking Chevy getting pulled out of the lake.
So, and another character that I used to do is a character named Margaret Gray. And this is the character, I know it's weird, isn't it, listening to a woman's voice, isn't it? But you see, this is what happens when strong women who are sexually warped go into a young boy's, you know, life. Look what happened. See, I'm doing a woman's voice. I'm healthy. I haven't committed any crimes. I have a girlfriend. I'm heterosexual, okay? Is that all right with your fucking asses? But I have to express it somehow, so I created this character, Margaret Gray. And,
well, Margaret, you're interrupting me.
How dare you? How dare you? I was telling you about your father breaking out the liquid butter once a year. All right? For anal. For anal. And you won't even listen to... I don't understand.
Mom, do you have to bring that shit up? We have people...
I'm bringing up something that's very important. Your father broke out the liquid butter.
And, and you say things like, you know, well, so what happened there, Mrs. Gray?
Well, what happened was Philip's father would break out the liquid butter once a year. I'd allow him to.
And goddamn, Mom, why are you saying that? How dare you? Like, it's my fucking problem? Like, what did I do? All I said was, please don't bring up anal sex while we're talking to police officers here because of the fact that you molested me. My mother didn't molest me much. Hey, man, I'm the Linkin fucking Park of so-called comedy, so don't fuck with me. I have a right. I have a moral right. No, I had a great mom. Yeah, sure. And I got together with my cousins. I went to Canada. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I'm not from Toronto. I'm from Pasadena, California, but my family's from Toronto, Canada. Anybody from Toronto? Fuck no. Okay. My family, I visited a couple of years ago, and Lauren went with me, and the reason why I keep referencing Lauren is because she would say to me, she's like my little guardian angel. She'd say, man, this is weird. Man, I got to get out of here. And she'd leap out of the fucking limousine, and we'd have to chase her through some woods. And finally, she'd get down to Lake Ontario and start clamming and shit. I go, God damn, baby, I got to get you back to California. She goes, no shit. But I went back to Canada, and I was standing with my cousins one day looking at the house of my mother's childhood, which was my grandfather's house. My grandfather was a Toronto cop, and he was a real asshole, and I loved him, you know. He was grandpa, you know. Sure, he was grandpa. He was my grandfather. He was a wonderful guy. And when he wasn't with the grandkids, he was beating the shit out of guys in jail cells. Fantastic. So I said, so what do you think? She says, well, I think that my mother was weird and your mom was weird. And I know she's weird. Tell me a little bit. Well, I don't know, but I found some letters. And it turns out, and I will conclude this, it turns out that my grandmother played piano in a cat house. And my grandfather was a fan of hers because she knew how to, people could say, play Stairway to the Stars. And my grandmother knew how to play it. Play whatever the fuck, and she'd play it. And my grandfather was like, wow, man, I got to have me this. And he went out with her, dated her, and had two children with her. And that was my grandmother. The reason why I'm saying this is, and I stole that line from Will Sasso, by the way. The reason why I'm saying this, to steal time, is to say that even though I had mentally deranged parents and grandparents, look at me now. So how are we doing with Charles? Yes, no?
He did not show up.
Well, fuck me running. Fuck me running. Well, that's okay.
It might be our fault. I don't know.
It could be very much our fault. No, I doubt that. Seriously.
I'll assume it's something.
No, we don't make mistakes. No, no, no. And Charles doesn't make mistakes. There was something in the universe. Let me tell you something about life, folks. You know, when man was first born on this planet, when he rolled off this mud ball, this is what he said. He said, fuck! Now, that's God. He didn't go,
well, now, how about that? We're on a fucking mud ball. Let's take a look at this shit.
He didn't say that. What would you say if you'd got jettisoned out of a little canister that you couldn't see or breathe or anything, and you just right at the, go, well, man, fuck. What is it? Like these lights. You can't see them. But when you get jettisoned out of the womb, this is what you see. Red and blue lights. You go, God damn. I don't want to be here no more. It looks shitty. Help me. Please help me. That's God. You're praying. That was the first prayer. The first prayer was, fuck me. Fuck me. It wasn't, look at this little morsel of sand. Why, this could certainly feed an entire nation. Bullshit. Why? Because man had not yet developed. My pants are falling down, by the way. At the end of this, they'll be all the way to my ankles. And you won't notice because I'll be so goddamn fascinating. But anyway, man did not say that. He said, look at this. So my feeling is the following. Charles Fleischer not being here tonight is an act of God. I think Roger fucking Rabbit's got him. He's got him in an undisclosed location. And I'm waiting for the phone call. My phone's right over there. It's right over there. And we'll find out. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been so wonderful this evening. And Allie, you're giving me that disappointed look that you've always given, because I've known her for so long. I would say to you the following. You are a tremendous audience. Charles isn't here. Fuck him and the horse he rode in on. And fuck goddamn Roger Rabbit, too. You know. And by the way, fuck that goddamn Jessica fucking Rabbit. And how that motherfucker ever got a piece of ass like that is God's fucking... Talk about God. You know, come out of the womb and go, how the fuck did he get that piece of ass, motherfucker? I don't believe any shit you're doing to me. So I would simply say that we're so grateful to have your attendance this evening. So grateful that you have been here and enjoyed, I hope, the show tonight. Did you enjoy the show tonight? Forget about me. Did you enjoy the... We had fantastic comics. And we hope that you'll be back with us for our next appearance, wherever that may be. The American Legion Hall. I'm going to be playing down here at the... There's a guy selling oranges. You got it. He's just hired me to help him. They're revolving there. The orange salesman on the freeway on-ramp. You didn't know that, did you? Oh, yeah. It's getting big fucking time. Dude's selling oranges and strawberries. And coming up about 2 o'clock is Phil Henry. Do you know that? Yay! All right, that's great. But till now, we had the place of the fucking strawberries and other bullshit. Okay, come on out, Phil. You're fucking up there. I'm not making the sales. All right, thank you. So I'll be there at the corner of Camarillo and Lexington. That'll be in Oxnard next month for the Strawberry Festival. It's a big field, and there's no one there until the cars start to pull up and park. I thank you very much, folks. You're the best. Please do check us out at philhenryshow.com. And I owe you one, man. I owe you a big one. It's called Charles Fleischer, and it's spelled HENDRIE.com. All right. Thanks so much, folks. Thank you. Thank you very much. Dax Band, thank you, brother. Despite what they say about you, Dax, I love you, man. Drink up.